Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and my husband Jared and I are here again today, continuing on with our biblical womanhood series. We've gone through worship, work, help, submit, and today we are on fear nothing. And we have one more week after this, which will be love. So we've really enjoyed going through this series together. I hope that it's been helpful for you guys. I realized that I forgot to do a couple questions at the end of our submit episode last week. So if you are going through these with a daughter or a friend or a group, maybe you guys came up with a couple questions.
Yeah. We'll try to remember some questions today at the end of this episode.
Yeah. I did think of a couple for submit when I remembered that I forgot to say some.
Well, if you remember them again, then you can put them out on Instagram or something.
Okay, I'll put them on Instagram.
So there we go. We're also here with Oat today.
Yeah. If you hear some baby toys or whining in the background, he's crawling around on the floor.
Should we tell them about Eckerd's?
Yes. So we went to really awesome peach picking extravaganza yesterday, and it was so much fun. It's called Eckerd's Farm, and it's in Belleville, Illinois. It was our very first time ever going, and it was pure magic.
Seventh generation Eckerd family, still running the same farm, same property, from like 1837 or something like that.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Remarkable.
We got just a shocking number of peaches.
That's a fire.
I saw smoke.
It's still going on. Okay. We can see out of our basement window I was burning outside earlier.
We got an insane number of peaches. Our kids were picking peaches and had their own boxes, and they just had a really good time.
And it just dawned on me how the pick-your-own-produce scam works. They say, look, you can go pick your own fruit. You can pick blackberries, peaches, apples, whatever, depending upon the year, the month, whatever's ripe at that time. You go out and you pay to pick your own peaches, so you do all the work for them, and then you pay a premium price for these peaches.
It's brilliant.
I mean, Eckerd's is doing really well.
It's a fun thing. But yeah, that is funny. Jared and I joked about, this is a long time ago, when the thought crossed our mind that it was one-time marketing scheme to market food for dogs.
Yeah.
About how, like, previous generations, the dogs just got scraps, you know? Like, there wasn't this pre-made food for dogs, dog food.
People come up with scams, and it works.
Like, just think about the first time everyone saw dog food commercials. They would have been like, what?
Yeah, dog food,
you
really?
You buy food just like, for your that? Dogs?
That's like a total rich person thing to do, is to buy food for dogs.
But now it's normal. We're not saying you're bougie if you buy your dog food.
But maybe. Maybe it's a scam like pick your own peaches.
Yeah. Dog food. It's food for dogs. We had a little.
They'll never buy into this, honey. They'll never do this.
Trust me. They'll do this. It's food for your dogs.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, pick your own peaches. It was a really fun time, though, and then we came home and... is that going to be really loud, him clanking all the toys?
That might
in the
be.
Background?
These are toys. You guys can just deal with it.
I'm sorry. Maybe I should scoot him back a little bit.
Yeah, hold on. I got this.
Okay. But we came home and Valor was like, let's make a peach pie. And he actually meant a peach cake. So we made a peach pound cake with our fresh peaches. And I plan to mainly freeze most of them because we drink a lot of smoothies. So
Valor was a little disappointed with that cake, though.
He was. It was delicious. But he was like, I didn't want there to be apples in it. I was like, that's the peaches.
He's like me, though, when it comes to dessert, it seems like.
I know.
He's a dessert purist.
All of my family is just a real bummer when it comes to desserts.
I know, I think I'm going to make cookies, and we're all like chocolate chip, right?
Yeah, just like classic chocolate chip that we've had 47 times this year, right?
Yeah.
Nothing different. Don't try to be fancy. I'm like, fine.
And then when you are, you're
boring
like,
boring chocolate chips.
Okay, I guess I'll try one.
Yeah, I know. They don't even want to try like the beautiful, delicious desserts. They just want just classic. But yeah, he was like, can we make another cake that's just plain cake with icing?
Like,
okay, fine. But did you know that pound cake is called pound cake because there was like a pound of each of the ingredients, like a pound of flour, a pound of sugar, a pound of butter?
I had no idea. I don't know baking facts, so.
But that's how it used to be. The recipes for pound cake aren't like that anymore, always, but that's why it was called a pound cake.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
It is interesting. So pound cakes are super heavy.
Yeah,
and delicious.
Sounds like it.
Lots of butter. Makes them good. You want to talk about fear nothing now?
Fear
do
nothing,
you have anything
yeah.
else to say about peaches? Wait, I have one more thing to say about peaches.
Okay.
So I peeled a bunch and froze them, but there was a lot of the peach still left around the pit, and I'm like, man, what should I do with these? So I boiled them down and made peach simple syrup to add to teas, and I'm pretty excited about that. So if you have a bunch of peaches and you don't want to waste the, you know, the cores and skins and all that, you can make some peach simple syrup, and it would probably be delicious on ice cream or in like a fun little cocktail or just in tea. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Sounds good. All right, so fear nothing. Thinking through the biblical teaching on manhood and womanhood, you get to this idea of being a daughter of Sarah. Sarah didn't fear anything that was frightening. I'm just going to read the passage starting in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. That's where the fear nothing comes from. We want ladies, we want women to be daughters of Sarah. We want them to not fear anything that is frightening. And we live in a world today of just an absolute epidemic of fear, anxiety, depression. Just looking up some stats before we started recording here and looked at profiles of the most unhappy people in America. And the most unhappy person in America is a 42-year-old single woman who doesn't have any children and who has a corporate job making around $100,000 a year. And this is a survey from 2011 from Psychology Today, so it may have changed the profile a little bit. But it was interesting, just 13 years ago, the most unhappy person in America was that woman. And if you look at that, and if you look at anxiety and depression, it's always more, it's like total epidemic at this point. And just look up the data, and it's astounding. But what you'll find is, ladies, when they reject God's purposes for themselves and pursue what they want to do on their own, what you end up finding out is it just doesn't work. It really doesn't work. And fear is everywhere. And yet, Christian women are called to be women that fear nothing that is frightening. Sarah understood hierarchy. We just talked about this a little bit over the last few weeks, just hierarchy of authority here. And she wasn't afraid to call her husband Lord. More than that, she wasn't afraid of anything that's frightening. And I think if Christian women live like that, they're going to be a shining example of the difference between what godliness looks like for a woman compared to what rebellion looks like to a woman. And rebellion just doesn't work. When you rebel against God and his ways and his purposes and his designs, fear and anxiety is everywhere. But when you walk in the ways that God has designed you to walk and live in that way, then there's a lot of freedom. You're not afraid of silly things. You're not afraid of doing what God has called you to do because he's prepared you to do that specific thing. So fear nothing, I think, is a good, you know, bullseye for women and young girls to be raised up into, because who wants to be a fearful woman who's afraid of everything? Who wants to be like the woman or like the Jezebels that are out there in the world today? Or like just the average woman is, that's the average feminist rebelling against what God has for her, who is popping pills every day just to make it through the day. And I think we have a clear example here in Sarah and her daughters of a different way to live.
So with anxiety, it's hard because anxiety is kind of a catchphrase for a lot of different feelings that it's a woman might have.
It's a junk drawer at this point.
It is. And anxiety sometimes can mean a hormonal imbalance after having a baby, and you are feeling the weird feelings of your hormones are really out of whack, and it's going to take a little bit of time to get balanced back out and to feel normal. Anxiety can also mean just like super stressed out, overwhelmed. So when we talk about fear and anxiety, sometimes it is a natural occurrence that you need to like medically support your body, nourish your body, and wait for the wave to kind of come back to equilibrium. But then other times with anxiety, it is sin that would always need to be repented of if it was sin. So with anxiety, you need to be really aware, like, okay, God tells us to not fear. He tells us, do not be anxious. So if we are doing that, if we are being anxious, then that is sin. And we need to say, God, I'm sorry that I am being anxious. And please forgive me for that and help me to trust you. And then also, sometimes our anxiety can come from disobedience. Sometimes what we're naming anxiety is actually conviction over a sin matter that needs to be repented of and stopped. Sometimes that's God's way of putting a finger on something in our life that we need to look at.
Yeah.
If you're having anxiety over something specific in your life, we need to say, okay, am I in disobedience in this area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the commands of God produce a certain kind of fruit. When a woman understands justification and that she's obeying because she is justified, when a woman is obeying her father's commands, it works. Certainly there can be those hormonal seasons and those seasons of difficulty. But what we see clearly in 1 Peter, she's not afraid of the structure of the household. She's not afraid to be the woman that God has called her to be, and she's not afraid to adorn herself properly. If you look at the ways of the world for the typical woman, it's all about external adornment. It's all about external beauty. It's all about external persona. It's all about rebellion. So isn't it just natural then, if a woman lives counter to how God says things should work, that things like fear are going to be present? Even things like Taylor Swift saying, she said, F word, the patriarchy, when all these teenage girls and their moms are at this concert. And what else is that but a rebellion against hierarchy? It's a rebellion against God's order. It's a rebellion against God's design. Well, what you're going to find then is a bunch of depressed, anxious, fearful, fear of missing out kind of girls and women that are following the Taylor Swift way. A bunch of miserable, frightened, fearful women. And Sarah is not like that.
Yeah. So now let's talk a little bit about like worry type fear. Because the Bible also lets us know that it's awful to live with a fretful and worrisome woman. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. Like the everyday kind of worry. We see that Proverbs 31 woman is not fearful for the winter to come, that she is prudent in what she's doing and preparing for the future. So there are some ways that help us not fear whenever we do keep an eye on the future and are being wise with our time and our keeping of our responsibilities. And then there's also an aspect of not putting our hope in those things, though. There's a quote by John Piper that I had on a big picture in our house for a long time. And it says, the fearlessness of a Christian woman is a hope that goes beyond this world. It's a hope in God. And that is what makes the Christian woman fearless. It's hoping in God and not in the things, the tangible things of this world. Our hope can't be in a house with heat, mm-hmm. you know, because our heat might go out and we have to trust the Lord that will be fixed or that God will provide in some way. Our hope can't be in a pantry full of food because your freezer might malfunction.
The door might not shut and you might lose all your meat.
Which happened to us. But your hope can't be in your storehouses, but it has to be in God, in a source of everything that is in your storehouses. The source is God. Your hope can't be in your husband that provides even. Your hope has to go beyond that in God and his provision for you.
Yeah, because honestly, there's two types of women, and you could say that there's two types of men in the world as well. Stress is going to come. Things that could bring anxiety, fear, depression are going to happen to everybody. This is a part of living in this world, is that you're going to face difficulty and challenges, and you're going to have to face them as a Christian woman or do something with your distress that is sinful. And a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching through Luke. I have been preaching through Luke as our church has been walking through the book for the last year and a half. And we got to Luke chapter 12, verse 50. And this is what Jesus said. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. And it was like a shock to me. You know, I've read that passage many times, but I'd never really got a hold of me. The fact that Jesus was distressed. And stress in and of itself then is not inherently sinful. The question is going to be, when distress comes, what do you do? And with Jesus, he knew exactly what to do with his distress. He stayed on mission. He did the right thing in the right way. He obeyed his heavenly Father. He submitted to his heavenly Father's plans in his incarnational ministry. And this is the responsibility of ladies. When the distress comes, when the anxiety comes, when the thing that causes a massive amount of people and a massive amount of women in particular to be afraid or anxious or to pop that pill, what do you do? And you hope in God, you trust God, and you continue to walk in obedience to his ways.
So yeah, it's not a denial that scary things might happen to you, but it's just that when those scary things, oh, his toy went under the chair. It's a recognition that when those scary things happen, that we don't panic, but we have hope in God, and that we know that God will take care of us. Even if it's us dying and going to heaven, that God will take care of us, that we have an eternal hope that goes beyond this world, that we, like, what can they do to us? Mm-hmm. And I think about the Sabina Wormbrand quote. It went under the chair again. So Sabina Wormbrand, I think I've talked about this quote. You want to put it on the carpet so it's not so loud? I think I've talked about this quote before on here, but her and her husband were like at a rally and the Germans had invaded, and it was basically...
If her husband was to speak up, then he could get killed.
He was keeping silent. Yeah. And she leaned over and was like, "They're spitting in the face of Christ. Aren't you going to say anything?" And he's like, "If I say something, I'm going to be dead or imprisoned, you know?" And she's like, "I would rather have a dead husband than a coward." For a husband. And it's such a bold statement, but...
Come back with your shield or on it.
Yeah, it's exactly... And that's the kind of Spartan women that we want to be. We want to be the kind of woman that encourages our husband to be super brave and be like,
no. To be the kind of man that can take a bullet and raise his hand in the air and say, fight.
Yeah, for real. Like, you want to be the kind of person that is not afraid. And you want your family to be people that are not afraid of things that are frightening. Because we have a hope that goes beyond this world. We have an eternal hope. You want to be brave yourself, and you want to be the kind of woman that makes your sons and daughters brave.
Yeah.
That when something scary happens, they look at you and you're like, all right, no big deal. God's with us. One thing on being scared of storms. Okay, so I've never wanted our kids to be scared of storms or bugs or things like that. And of course, those things can hurt us. That's not that those things can't hurt us. But from the time that they were really little, like when... You guys are really distractingly cute. But from the time that they were little, when a big clap of thunder would happen, I would be like, whoa, isn't that cool? God made that. Let's go look out the window. And or like when a bug would get on them and they would look at me with a questioning look in their eyes, like, should I be afraid right now? I'd be like, no, let's hold it. So you can be the type of mom that... that encourages your family to be worried about things in your worry. So, like, if you're worried about storms, your family feels that. Or you can be the type of woman that trusts the Lord when there's a storm and is like, no, let's see how God's going to provide. And that was one thing. It was really cool. I got to tell one of our kids that this week because we lost all the meat in our freezer. I got to remind him of George Mueller and about how in the George Mueller biography that we read, God provided for him. Like, remember? Let's look upon what God has done. And that's what God told the Israelites to do, too. Like, when we're concerned about God's provision, look back on the ways that he's provided for us and for other Christian heroes of the past. So, like, let's look. Let's look to what he's done. Remember George Mueller? Remember when God provided the bread and milk exactly when all the orphans needed it? So that's why I think it's so good to read Christian biographies, too. Like, get the book Radiant. If you're struggling with fear and anxiety, buy the book Radiant and just read all of the stories of Christian women that have gone before us and been brave.
I think a couple things that can help a lady with this is putting fear in the right place. So fear God, don't fear man, which is going to be huge, and especially for your husband as well. You want your husband to fear God over man. You don't want him to be a milquetoast guy. I mean, you're a Christian woman listening to this podcast here. You want him to fear God over man, and you've got to do that as well. Honor God in all things and trust him. And the second thing is, you mentioned the word provide. You got to trust in the providence of God, that God is going to take care of you. And ultimately, he has ways to come through that you have no idea about. Mm-hmm. If you look back on your life, you've recognized, my goodness, look what God has done. He has taken care of us. He will take care of me. He will take care of us. You have to trust in the sovereignty of God. And when you trust that the God that you fear over man, you want to honor him no matter what, when you trust that he's in charge of everything and you know he loves you, there's a lot of peace that comes from that, practical peace. The hard part is, in those moments, reminding yourself, because we are so forgetful. It's so easy to forget when the freezer goes down and the meat gets thrown out. Oh, God provides for us. And, you know, I'm starting to think about money and all this kind
he
of stuff.
He provides for the birds. Like, why would I be concerned?
That's the hard part, is applying the things you know in those moments. But, you know, God has a way of strengthening you when you need to be strengthened.
Yep. You think that you wouldn't be able to handle something like that until something like whatever. I'm not saying the freezer is that big of a deal. But you think that you wouldn't be able to handle something big until that thing happens and God gives you the strength to walk through it.
Yeah.
The book Learning Contentment is super helpful. It's by Nancy Wilson, but it's a very helpful book for anyone who is going through a season of great difficulty, because it encourages you to be content through difficulty. Like, how on earth can you be content? Well, Paul tells us the secret of contentment, and it's through that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yeah. That is the secret of contentment, that through anything, through shipwreck, through whatever, highs and lows of our life, that we can be content through Christ.
Imagine
who gives us the strength to do it.
Sorry. Yeah. And just imagine this, okay? You are growing in becoming a fearless woman. Your home, you're raising up little girls that are not fearful. They're not anxiety ridden. God is doing a work in your family. And then think about your church, where there's a group of fearless women who fear God over man, they trust God to provide, and they don't fear anything that's frightening. They are the kind of women like the Warren Brand woman who says, I'd rather have, and ideally he wouldn't have been scared to speak up to begin with, but the come back with your shield or on it kind of woman. The kind of woman that's not afraid of anything that's frightening. Now, what does that look like in a household and then in a church community or in a community at large? It looks radically different than the women of the world. The women of the word look totally different. Women who trust God's purposes, God's hand over their life, and they don't fear anything. It's an astounding difference.
Yeah.
And
I think it's also knowing that we serve such an amazing God. A lot of times whenever I have people in my life that are going through something difficult and it's like, you know, it's either this or it's this. We don't really know what's going to happen. It's either this or this. I like to remind them that, like, God is a God of, like, a third option that you've not thought of, that you had no idea was possible. It's like, oh, God, I had no clue that that was an option. I remember just many times in our life, but one of them I remember was whenever we were looking for a home.
Mm-hmm.
And God providing in a way that I didn't see that option as an option at that time and season. Yeah, just trusting that God has so many more possibilities than what you can imagine. So when we are going through, this nursing might be really loud. I'm sorry for all the baby sound effects that are in the background of this.
This is a real podcast today. This is legit.
This is real life in action. But yeah, you might be going through something and not really knowing how it's all going to work out. Just be reminded that God has so much more creativity than what our brains can think of, and that he can provide in so many different ways that you never dreamed possible. And just reminding yourself of that.
I was talking with a lady. I went to a hospital visit, and her and her husband were there to visit the same woman that I was there to visit. And she had raised, I think, eight or nine children, homeschooled them all, and they were now out of the house, or maybe there was one left in the house. And all the children love Jesus. They're all doing well, all of them, but one were married, I believe. And I asked her, what was something that you would tell yourself if you could go back, you know, 20, 30 years to when you were raising your children when they were younger? And she said, I would go back and tell myself to chill out. It's going to be okay. She said that she was always in a frenzy, that she was always thinking and fearful that her kids aren't going to make it, or that she was going to be doing a terrible job, or that they're not going to get into college, or they're not going to this or that. There's just all these scenarios. She said, I would go back and I would just tell myself, chill out. And some of you ladies right now, some of the best words of advice you could hear are, chill out. It's going to be okay. Do not be afraid. You are a daughter of Sarah. By the grace of God, that's what you are. That's who you are. So step up into that. In those areas of fear, repent of that, turn to Christ, trust his sovereign hand in your life, and quit fearing people or quit fearing circumstances or whatever people, public opinion, whatever it may be. Trust God and just chill out a little bit. It's going to be okay. Let this day be a better day than yesterday. If yesterday was a tough day, look to Christ and be a daughter of Sarah. That's who you are.
Yeah. Nancy Wilson calls it dumpster diving, whenever you're allowing your mind to go into all of the what-ifs. And sometimes we need to repent of those things. Mm-hmm. Take thoughts captive and set our minds on things above, to think about what is good, true, and beautiful, and focus on that and set your hand to the plow and get to work on the good things in front of you,
mm-hmm.
rather than allowing yourself to just muddle in the what ifs and the fear and anxiety. Okay, I'm gonna consciously make an effort to not think about all of the fear that could possibly take over my brain, but to think about things above and to get to work on the good things. So 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I think a big thing in this too is just being reminded that God cares. Like, mm-hmm. he cares about us. He really is a good father that really does care about his children, that really does provide, that really does love us. Like, he actually loves us. He sent his son to die for us. Of course he's going to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
So just being reminded that God really loves you.
Yeah.
Yes.
If he did not spare his own son, will he not graciously give us all things? He takes care of us. That's what he does. And it's awesome.
Yeah. So a couple questions. Is there a sinful fear in your life that you need to confess to someone around you and repent of? And then chat about some ways that God has provided for you, been faithful to you, shown great care and mercy towards you in your past that helps you be courageous for the future. All right, thank you guys for listening. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.